Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21. Now, a number of weeks ago, we were going through the Gospel of Mark and went through Mark chapter number 11. And we talked a little bit about when Jesus cleansed the temple, talked about how, talking about the house of prayer and things like that. We did not spend much time on that. No, it was on purpose because we knew, I thought the Lord was leading us to preach on the similar topic that's found in the Gospel of Matthew here. And we talked about how he wants are a certain principle that many times is missed in our day and lives. And so we talked about the house of prayer and how the house of God, the temple, Jesus told me, and you see here in Matthew chapter 21, it says in verse number 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And we looked at that for just shortly. We just kind of glazed over it a little bit. And the reason why is because tonight we like to look at this thought, cleaning out the temple. There's a principle that's important here that's missed. And sometimes I understand the house of God and I understand the principles of doing what's right in the house of God and different things like that. But here, if we think about the temple in the day and time that we live in this New Testament age, what is the temple? It's our body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so what it's saying here is in the day and time and that we live in, I would like for us to consider today as our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost or the temple of God. And with that thought, the way that Jesus came in and he cleaned house, he cleaned the temple, and he turned over the money changers' tables. He did all those different things. He cleaned out things. Why is that? Because what was that temple supposed to be? It was supposed to be a place that brought glory and honor to God, but they had made it into a den of thieves. And with that thought, I would like to encourage us tonight to do some, I don't know if this is a bad words or not, spring cleaning. You say, why would it be bad words? Well, number one, it's the month of January. Thinking about spring, to me, that's a nice thing. And I know this week I looked in the weather for next week, a couple days, it's supposed to be in the 60s. That's not normal everywhere. Some places are getting snow right now. All that rain we had yesterday, a lot of places had snow. But also that idea of cleaning is the thought process that's there is that sometimes people during the springtime, they go and they pull out certain furniture that maybe they only do once a year. They clean out those windows. I remember growing up, there was times when you brought in the screens, certain type of screens, you put the screens in, you clean them, different things like that. You took the air conditioning, once we finally got air conditioning, you put the air conditioner in. You move out things like the couch and the other things, you vacuum underneath it. You know, sometimes people even watch people take the stove out. If you haven't taken the stove out for a little while, move the stove out and clean behind the stove. I don't know why you do all that stuff. Nobody sees it anyway. But it's spring cleaning. It's the idea that you get rid of all the things that usually you don't pay attention to, but you want to make sure that they're clean. And so when we're thinking about this new year, we're thinking about a new beginning. It's a fresh start. And I know we are, you know, it's January 7th. So it's something that it's still a new beginning. And that's the wonderful thing is, it's a new day every day with the Lord. And you can have a new beginning. You can have a fresh start. If you're looking for a fresh start, there's one that's there for you. There's one that's available for you. There is something that's there. And one of the things that's so important in getting a fresh start is making sure that we're clean first and foremost. Let's read the story. I know the story is familiar. I know some people preach about this being the temple and talks about not selling inside the church and different things like that. I think a lot of times they miss the perspective here that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it tells us that. And that we should care about our bodies and making sure that our bodies are clean and there's nothing in it that is not taking, if there's something in it that's not giving God glory, we should get rid of it. We should clean it out. We should, as it talked about, turn the tables upside down on it. And there are things in our lives that I think it's important at this time of year, especially fresh start, want New Year's resolutions. I want to do what's well. I'm excited about 2024. I'm excited about our theme for 2024. I'm excited about what God could do in our church's life in 2024. But true revival begins with individuals, and it begins with people and making sure our hearts are right. If we truly want to see a mighty moving of God in our life and in our church's life, it begins with us. It begins at the house of the Lord. That's where revival comes from, is when we make sure we're clean and ready. So tonight, I would encourage us to do a little spring cleaning. If you're taking notes, I would say the first point is consider the principle that we are the temple. Consider the principle we are the temple. It's not the church house. It's the temple of the New Testament. The church house is not the temple. It's not the idea where they're talking about here. We are the temple of God. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 21. Let's go ahead and pick up in verse number 12. Matthew 21, verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of, and what's the next word? God. Let's say that again. Temple of, it's God's temple. So what's God's temple today? It's us. It's our body. It's the temple of God. And as he says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, was there anything wrong with them selling these things and changing the money? And the answer is no. There was a spot when they came in and they had Roman money. They would have changed it in for money that would have been acceptable at the temple, because they wouldn't have accepted the Roman money. There was doves, and many times people were traveling and they brought the doves, and they would purchase the doves. And to be able to purchase the doves, they would have to take the money that they had to exchange that money to get money that would be appropriate to use at the temple to buy the doves. There wasn't where the location was at. It was not a spot that they were doing something wrong. It's the fact that they had done something that was wrong in the way that they were treating and dealing with others. Then it says in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, I love it where it says, saw the wonderful things. I mean, they hate it, but you know, the way that God looks at it, the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were angry. They were upset. As we talked about in Sunday school class, they had the wrong motivation. They had the wrong thought process. They didn't want what was right. They wanted to be able to stay in charge and in control. And then it continues on, and he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today, thankful for all the things that you can do for us. Lord, tonight, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, each and every person's heart here tonight. Lord, number one, if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, they'll come to a understanding that they need you, and Lord, that they're lost. Without you, they're eternally separated from you. And Lord, they need to cry out to you in faith and repentance. Number two, for those that would say we're believers here tonight, born again, on our way to heaven, that we would understand this perspective that we are the temple of God, and that you would burden our hearts about making sure that our temple is clean. Lord, we would make sure that there's not inappropriate things happening inside the church building. But Lord, sometimes I believe that we really, truly do things in our own lives that do not please you and honor you. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I guess if you're going to ask the question tonight, is your body or is your temple, is it your temple or is it his temple? Is it your temple or is it his temple? And the scripture says there that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then it even goes as far, for you are bought with the price. It says you are not your own. So if we believe the Bible or Bible scripture, we want to be Bible people, biblically led people. We believe that this is not our body, that this is not our temple. It's the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives within us once a person's saved. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. We've been bought with a price. So whose temple is it? Is it ours or is it God's? The answer is it's God's. Now, here's the next question. If it belongs to God, should God have the right to do whatever he wants at his house or his temple? And the answer is yes, he should. The truth is, sometimes when you go and you rent a place, that many times in this past year, we rented a place a couple years ago, I guess now, rented a place for the first time in our lives. We had lived in a duplex next to my parents for the first few months when we got married, and then we moved into our first house in Elkton, and then we spent most of our years in the parsonage, and then we bought a house, and then we sold the house, we rented the house, we went to a place where we rented, and then we moved back into the parsonage, and we have some experience living in under different situations. In a rental property, there are certain things you can do and certain things you cannot do. And there are certain things. Why is that? Because it's not your house. Even back at the parsonage, even though we've been told numbers of times, hey, it's your home, it's where you're living at, we always have in the back of our minds when we make decisions, we want to make sure it's something that we're going to leave it better than we found it. And we're not going to make decisions saying, hey, this is my house, I'm going to do what I want with it. Instead, it's the church's house because it belongs to the church and we feel comfortable, we're thankful for it. It's a wonderful home and we've lived there, we raised their sons there. It's a big blessing and we're very thankful for it. But inside that rental property we were at, you know what? There were certain things you could and certain things you could not do. You couldn't put certain things on the wall. There were certain stipulations that were there. There are certain things that they said, this is a no-no. You are not allowed to do this, but you can do this. And I think about it. If we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if we don't belong to ourselves, guess what? If it's God's house, then what it should be done is God should be able to do what he wants in our house and with our house. So my encouragement to you tonight is to say, if it's God's house, God, come look in it. If there's anything that you don't want in it, if there's anything in it that you do not, that does not bring you glory, does not bring you honor, let's just get rid of it. Let's clear it out. Let's pull out the stove, which I don't know how many of you guys pull out the stoves and you see underneath it, we had replaced the stove recently and it didn't look horrible there, but at the same time, there are different times. I'm sure it's when I cook and things fall and different things like that, but there are different parts of the house when you pull something out. And I remember growing up, you pull out the sofa, you're looking for the money and the change that falls into the sofa sometimes, but you know what else is all there? Is a bunch of dirt and dust unless you pull it out, unless you clean it out. So that's the idea tonight. Let's open up all the doors. Let's open up all the windows. Let's look in every area, in every crook and crevice, or however you say those things, crevice, and then just say, God, if there's something in here that does not bring glory and honor to you, let's get rid of it because this is your house. We should do the things the way that you want it done. Does he have the right to do whatever he wants in his house? Yes. Do we put up a fight sometimes? Yes. Do we feel like the Lord should be comfortable in his house? I would think so, right? I would want to be comfortable in my own house. Is there things in our lives that the Lord would not be comfortable sharing the house with? Is there things in our lives where he may have taken him off the throne and put something else on the throne? I truly believe that God should be able to roam out throughout every area of your house, every corridor, and he should feel comfortable in your house. So Jesus here in this story, you look at it and see what it says here in verse number 12. Once again, and Jesus went into the temple of God. This is temple of God. So it's temple of God. It belongs to God. Jesus is God. Should be able to do what he wants. We all say that's right. That's true. That's good. Now let's apply that to our own lives. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of God. He indwells within us. It belongs to him. He should feel comfortable and right and do whatever he chooses that he wants to do. And look what he does. He casts out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So he gets rid of the things that is not bringing glory and honor to God. So if we truly want to be right with the Lord and we truly want his blessing on our life, I truly believe we need to get rid of those things that are stopping us from communing with him. There, if you look there and you think about this and you read it with the other stories, you see these people doing all these transactional type things, but you don't hear of anybody worshiping. You don't hear of anybody praying. You don't hear of anybody giving glory and honor to God in this situation. And that's why I think many times in our lives that we allow in our own life is that Christianity, our worship becomes more transactional. We come here, we listen, we nod our head, we say, oh, that's good, that's right. But it never changes us personally. And we need to let it affect us personally. It needs to be, God, come into my house. Look into my house, Lord. If there's something, come into your house that you've given me to be a steward over. If there's something in my life that needs to change, then, Lord, please do whatever it is that you need to do. In verse number 1, it says, and when they drew nigh into Jerusalem and were coming to Bethphage and unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples. And then you're going to see, you know, they had the triumphal entry and all those other things out. There's a lot of prophecy that's there. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to die for the sins of mankind. There's a whole bunch of different things to think about, study about, and to worship. But how do we apply it to our hearts and lives today? If he went in there, he cleaned the temple that day, we should ask him, God, I want you to clean the temple today in my life. So here's another thing. Don't just consider the principle. Consider the purging. Consider the purging. When the Lord has supremacy in our life, there are things he will drive out of our lives. Jesus knows how to crowd out the things in our lives if we give him preeminence. If we bring the Lord into our heart, you think about it, when a person gets saved, the Bible says we become new creatures. It's a brand new renovation project that happens. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in, he moves in. For a little while when we were looking at possibly buying a house, we considered renovating a house a little bit. And when we bought our house, we got a little bit of a fixer-upper. We found the worst house in the nicest neighborhood, the neighborhood that we really enjoyed. But there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And so when we moved in, there were certain things that we wanted to get rid of. There's certain things that we didn't want to have there anymore. And when Jesus Christ comes to live with inside of us, you know what happens? He's moving in. He's taking ownership. And it's a renovation. It's the greatest renovation that will happen in your life. He wants to change you completely. And totally. There are certain things he wants to get rid of. There are certain things he wants to move out. There are certain things that, hey, this isn't staying here. I remember some of the colors of the walls that were at our house. One of the first things we did, we painted the inside of the walls because inside the house on the walls because they were a very interesting color. And it was like, no, that's gonna, if we're gonna buy this house, one of the first things that was gonna change is we had to change the colors of this house. We had to get rid of this and get rid of that. And there are certain things that went along with that. And when Christ comes into our lives, it's something that he wants to come in and he wants to take over. And look, I'm not speaking about somebody's specific thing, sins. Only God truly knows what our sins are and the things that we need to work on. What I'm saying is that we need to do a deep cleaning in our lives. Maybe it's our thoughts, maybe it's our actions, maybe it's our attitudes, but we need to be open to say, God, here it is. Here's my life. This is your body. Do what you want with. Crowd out, clean out, renovate, change, push this out, move this in, whatever it is you want to do. Just as he got rid of the things that were not bringing glory and honor to God in the temple, that's why he's saying, I believe it's important that we let him clean our temple. What is the one thing in your life? I remember hearing a preacher say this. What is the one thing in your life you do not want to meet God with? Think about it. Of all the things you struggle with, all the things that you deal with, maybe that little pet sin that you let stay there for a little while and you know you should deal with it, you know you should mess with it. Someday you're going to stand before God. What is that one thing in your life that you say, I don't want to meet God having this in my life? Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's a bitterness. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit can point it out in your heart and say, you know what? I hope that I get this right in my heart before I ever meet God. That's the starting. That's the cleaning spot that you need to start cleaning with tonight. There is something that, if there's something that you need to clean, if there's something you know saying, boy, I hope I get victory over this addiction. Maybe I hope I get victory over this bitterness. Maybe I get victory over not being faithful and not reading his word, not praying, not being a soul winner. Whatever it is that's in your life about lying, about having the wrong type of perspective, about looking at things and lusting after things or coveting after things. Whatever it is, say, boy, I just hope that someday that I can have victory over this before I meet God. You know what? It's time for a fresh start. You know what the fresh start is? Beginning of the year. Now, more importantly, it is, God, I need you to renovate this area of my life. You think about what he says here. He uses at the end of verse number 3, a den of thieves. A den of thieves. What do you think about a den of thieves? You think about somebody who's being deceptive, somebody who's being dishonest. You say, Pastor, I would never, ever do that. I would never have disgraced the church house that way. And I would never do anything inappropriate inside the house of God. But if the application and the principle is that we're the temple of God, remember what's in our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. We must learn to deal with that. That's why we need him to come in and clean us. We need him to show us and lead us and direct us. We need him to say, this is what needs to go, and this is what needs to come, and this is what needs to stay. Is this your house, your temple, or is it God's? There's one thing that is truly holding back the blessing of many churches, and it's sin in people's lives. Could it be our sin? Could it be your sin? Could it be my sin? The temple here in this story had become very transactional. Remember we talked about in Sunday school a little bit, they come to Jesus, they're trying to trip him up. The next story about it, you know, they bring a coin to Jesus and say, should we pay taxes or should we not pay taxes? And Jesus says, you know, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And he over and over in Mark chapter number 12 that we're looking at, they send this person and then they send this person, they send this person, and they're trying to trick him up. They're trying to fool him. Why is that? Because it's not become real to them. Jesus over and over showed him, you have sin in your heart. You have sin in your life. There's something you need to get right. And they just blew right by it. Says, you know, are you from God? Or and Jesus says, is it John the Baptist? You know, was John the Baptist of heaven or of man? And all those different things. And he shows them, even in the parable today, they got angry and mad with him, not because he wasn't telling the truth. They got angry and mad because he told a parable about them. He told a parable about their sin. And sometimes people get angry and mad at church and get angry and mad at the pastor, or get angry and mad at God because it talks about their sin. And the reality is, all I'm saying is open up your heart and see if there's something that's dirty and get it cleaned up. It's time for a fresh start. It's time for a new beginning. Next thing, I want you to think about this principle is he cleansed the temple before. Go ahead and take your Bible to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, there's a story of him cleansing the temple before. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? It's the idea we have to clean it more than once. When we talk about spring cleaning, we're not talking about spring cleaning once in your lifetime. Spring cleaning is something that happens usually yearly. At least I know in certain houses that happens yearly. Sometimes people are like, spring cleaning, what's that? You know, let's not worry about it. Let's keep on going. But in John chapter number 2, look what it says in verses 13 through 17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, that last phrase, hath eaten me up, that's usually talking about if you are super excitable about something, something has possessed you in a sense, not talking about demons, something has taken over your heart, your affection. It's something that has consumed you. And it's saying that the house of the Lord, the temple of God here has consumed the zeal, the glory of God had consumed Jesus. And Jesus wanted to bring glory to God and wanted the temple to bring glory to God. And anything that was in the temple that was not bringing the glory to God, he said, let's get rid of it. Let's get this stuff out of here. Don't make my Father's house the house of merchandise. You say, what's the big deal here? Well, one happened at the beginning of his ministry. Beginning of John here, John chapter 2, you see the beginning of his ministry. And then you go to Matthew chapter 21, what do you see? You see at the end of his ministry. He's still zealous about the same thing. You can go back to Matthew 21 now. It talks about here at the beginning, I'm zealous. The house, the temple of God is something that we should be zealous about. We want everything that's going to bring glory and honor to God. If there's something that does not bring glory and honor to God, let's get it out of here. What happens over 3 years later? Same thing happens. He's zealous about it. It's eating them up. And there are certain things we get eaten up about. There are certain things that we sit there and we make a big deal out. I'm consumed with, you know, whether some people with sports and sometimes it's people with problems with other people. And we get consumed with relationships and we get consumed with just hobbies or we get consumed with, and we talk about all different types of things that make us tick. And that's what we're super excited about. And here Jesus, his consumment, he was consumed with the house of the Lord. It's something that we must understand and say, hey, I want to make sure this is important. I want to make sure this is something that we take and make and that it is something that's important to me and is zealous. But he does it twice. Why is that? Because it gets dirty again. Just like inside our homes, there's sometimes things we got to pull out. We got to move certain things just to vacuum underneath it. I still remember as a child picking up certain things or holding certain things while mom vacuumed underneath it. And it looked bad underneath there once a year or however often we would do it just because it needed that cleaning. And it's the same thing with our lives. Sometimes we get dirty. And sometimes we need to go to the Lord. I know I'm not saying once a year, because I think it's more a daily thing, is that we go to the Lord and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If they got it messed up at the temple again just a few short years later, guess what? They need to be cleaned again, and we also need to be cleaned again. We also need to be something that we are listening to the Lord. Doing what he's called us to do. So the encouragement tonight is, let's consider if there's something in our lives that need to be cleaned out. Let's like I said, move back the furniture. Let's pull out the stove, move the refrigerator. Those places that maybe don't get cleaned every day or every single week, or maybe not even every month. And let's look and ask the Lord to search us, to see if there be any wicked way in us. And then ask him to lead us in the right paths. We'll never partake in everything that God wants us to have this year. We'll never do it if we're not right with him. We will never, ever partake in everything that God desires for us in 2024 if our hearts are not right. We should have a zealous first and foremost for being right with him in our lives to bring him glory. Revival does not begin as a collective thing. Revival begins when our hearts are right. So let's open the door tonight and ask God to do some spring cleaning. Take away anything that's wrong in our hearts. Take away anything that's wrong in our lives. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you continually go before the Lord and continually go before the Lord and continually go before the Lord, asking and seeking. I was reading this past week, and I came across a blog or some type of thing that was written by a preacher, and it talked about the story about Joshua. And Joshua, at the end of his life, or at least it's the end of his ministry, he says these famous phrases, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in that story, he's sitting there and he tells the story, but he also, a few verses later, it says, so Joshua made a covenant with the people. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose you this day. But the thing that was interesting in the story was the backdrop of where it was location was at. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest you deny your Lord, not deny your God. So he says, he gets all the people together, he puts this great stone, he puts up this thing and says, here, you made a commitment. You're not going to not stop serving the Lord. You're not going to go back to your old gods. You're not going to go back to the gods of your father. And that was the challenge. He says, and when he says, unto them, it says, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Now, the thing that was interesting was the backdrop of where it was at. He put that stone underneath a oak tree in Shechem. But also, years earlier in Genesis 35:4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So it was many, many years beforehand, even when Jacob was younger and he was getting his heart right, beginning to lead his family, he took all the strange gods away, he took all the earrings away, and he dug and hid them underneath this oak tree. Many years later, Joshua calls and tells them people to come on out. And the guy who wrote the article or the blog, I don't know where he got this from, but he says that Joshua, in his mind, it was the same oak tree. It was an imagery that's saying, hey, look, your Jacob and his family struggled with false gods. And even before the flood, they struggled with false gods. And he says, if you want these false gods, go ahead and dig them up. These gods can't do anything to help you. But it's the same principle here. It's the idea that it was before the flood. And then we see in Jacob's life. And then we see now even in the nation of Israel's life. And Joshua even says to them, you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. I know your hearts. And even during the book of Judges, what do? They continue on struggling with the same things with these false gods over and over and sin over and over. You say, Pastor, what is it? It's a process. We must continually to make sure we're clean. We must continually give God access access to his house and to his temple and say, God, this is your temple. This is your life. I want it to be clean. And that's when Joshua was sitting there saying, hey, look, here's the principle. If it was the same oak tree, it was teaching them something. Hey, look, this is the same spot that your forefathers struggle with. And even before them, they struggle with the false gods. And it leads up into our lives. We are sinners. Yes, we are saved. We do not have to sin. We have been given victory, but we must remember that it's a process. We must continue to make sure we're clean. And that's when he comes in here, when Jesus cleans up the temple, he cleans it good. And that's what we need to say. When God cleans up our heart and God cleans up our lives, he's going to clean it good. We must allow him to. And sometimes it hurts when he takes certain things away and certain things he brings up. Even as I was studying and I was reading and as I was writing, the Lord was bringing things to my mind. Is this something I'm comfortable with? Is this something I need to change? And I was asking the Lord, Lord, whatever you want, here it is. This is your life. Whatever you want to have. When Joshua originally challenged the people to choose who they were going to serve, he was not speaking in a metaphorical, in a way. He's speaking in not even a theatrical type way. He's guiding them to a spot where they would have recognized their forefathers struggled with this. We don't want you to struggle with this. Joshua was literally standing over those old gods and he was saying, you don't want, these gods cannot help you. Do you have a gravestone for your old gods? Do you have a spot where you put them and said, I'm done with this. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this to be a part of my life anymore. And by God's grace and God's power and God's help, I'm not going to go back to that. And the answer is usually yes. Many times the things we struggle with are things that we struggle with the same thing over and over. God can and will give us victory if we live for him. I have not found it, and I heard one preacher say it this way, I have not found it hard to get right with God. The hard thing is staying right with God. It's not getting right because I can get right just like that. I can submit my heart and submit my life. Here it is, Lord, I want you to have it because that's my desire. The Spirit is definitely willing. It's just my flesh is weak. So it's not just, hey, I need to stay right. It's, hey, I know that I need to stay right. And I know my flesh is weak. That's why he tells us to watch. That's why he tells us to pray. And that's why I believe we need to tell him, remember this principle, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we need to allow him to have reign and rule in our temples. If it's his house, it should be able to do what he wants with his house. Next thing is you consider the praise that's found in verse 15. Not only consider that principle and consider the purging, but consider the praise that's found there. Verse 15, it says, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. There's a purpose to this. When we clean, you know what's going to happen? We're going to praise. When we are clean and we see God giving us, we are going to praise him. If we'll learn to praise God and we learn to stay in his presence all the day, it gives us a new perspective. It changes how we see things. When we get the junk out of our life and when we enter into his presence and realize we stay in his presence and he helps us and meets our need. Like he says in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. I mean, it amazes me here in the scriptures when it goes and says, you know, he's there and he's actually healing blind people. He's healing lame people. And the chiefs and the scribes, they get angry. There's something different about this man. There's something different about this Jesus. But they're so hard-hearted and so cold-hearted. They will not see it. They will not believe. They will not let God do a work in their hearts and lives. We should make sure that we're not cold-hearted and hard-hearted. That if God is trying to speak to our hearts about something, say, God, this is your home. Come and clean it. And when they finally come to the end of ourselves and we say, God, this is your life. Do what you want with it. Clean up. Get whatever. Get rid of whatever you want. Bring in whatever you want. Do whatever, then we'll praise him because God will have a chance to work. God will have a chance to make a difference in our lives. We will be amazed by the power of what God can do. I know in my life, there's been times when I've allowed him to do whatever he wants in my life. And it's amazing how he speaks to you. Amazing how he wants to do things in your heart. He wants to do things in your lives. It's amazing if you give him you. And once again, you belong to him already. And if you say, Lord, whatever it is you want, come clean me out. You take out whatever doesn't bring you glory, bring in whatever brings you glory, And that's what you see here in this temple cleansing. And I know sometimes people have become, and I know even people that have come to our church before in the past, like, I don't think we should buy and sell. And I explain to them the things that are there and the differences that are there. And as long as somebody's not making it a house of merchandise, you shouldn't think about it being, hey, I'm going to go down to Faith Baptist Church and buy stuff. That's not the purpose. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And are we a house of prayer? And then if we make it personal, in the temple of the Holy Ghost, what I used a few months ago in the Gospel of Mark, is our lives a house of prayer? If this is the temple of God and it's supposed to be a house of prayer, are we praying? Are we known for being a person of prayer? Is our house a place of prayer? And once again, that's inside our homes. Yes, of course, inside our churches, we should have prayer. Inside our homes, we should have prayer. Inside our families, we should have prayer. I wish over the years I would have been better at that and even done more of that. We did some, but didn't do as much as we should have. But personally, am I a house of prayer? And here, that's what they're saying here. Look, don't use your lives. Don't use this temple as something that's deceptive. Don't be something that makes God feel uncomfortable with the things you're allowing in your hearts and lives. Open it up and say, clean out the corners. Sometimes I see somebody else cleaning or other things like that, and you hear people jokingly say, hey, you can come to my house next. Hey, you're doing a good job there cleaning. Why don't you come to my house next? Go ahead. You can clean it up. I don't mind. If you want to clean, go ahead. You know, more power to you. Now, my wife probably would feel a little bit differently than that. She does a good job keeping her house clean, and she might say, oh, no, I don't want anybody to come to my house and clean it. I don't know. But at the same time, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead and clean it. But that's what we need to do with our own hearts and lives. Okay, God. Go ahead. I don't want to just be sort of clean, kind of clean. I want to be clean. I want to be used by you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that's right, if I belong to you, this is your life. This is your temple. And if it's your house, you should be able to do what you want with it. If it belongs to somebody else, then no, you have to follow their rules. But it seems like God has given us this temple, this body, to be a steward of. And so many times we're filling it up with things that doesn't look like it belongs to God. Instead, it looks like it belongs to somebody else. So tonight, cleaning out the temple, or spring cleaning with God, whatever you want to call it. But let's allow God to do whatever he chooses to do in our lives tonight and say, God, I'm open to whatever you want for my life. If there's something you want to turn over and get rid of and kick out, go for it. If there's something you want to bring in, if there's a change you want to make, if you want that to happen, and remember, when you see all those renovation shows, you're sitting there watching, they take down this wall, and they put up this wall, and they do this, and lots of times they're working with people, they make complete changes, and it looks completely different. You are in the greatest renovation process of your entire life. The change that God is making in your world, making in your life, you've become a new creature. And day by day, he wants you to conform into the image of his son. Day by day, it's submitting and giving yourself to the Holy Spirit. Day by day, it's getting rid of certain things and adding other things. Day by day, growing closer and closer to him. Day by day, realizing who we are and who he is and what we belong to him. So tonight, let's ask God to do some spring cleaning in our lives. Once again, not just the surface stuff. Let's pull out some of that furniture that hasn't been pulled out for a long time. Let's bring that light out and let's look at the things. And sometimes it's a hard, deep cleaning agent that has to happen. And sometimes it does hurt. But let me encourage you tonight, let God do what he wants in his temple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I know that the reason why you lay messages like this on pastors' hearts is because you want us to be right with you. You want us to be clean. Lord, they're not always easy to hear. And sometimes they're easy just to dismiss and just say, oh, that's just the pastor talking. But Lord, you wanted the temple of the Holy, you want the temple of God to be a house of prayer. You want it to be things done there that glorify God. God, would you help us to understand that and see that? Would you help us to remember the principle that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And God, that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to you. Lord, would you help us tonight? Lord, would you plant something in each and every one of us? Number one, the need for salvation for those that do not know. And number two, a desire, Lord, in each of our hearts to want to be clean. Or I don't know where each and every person is at. I only know where my own heart's at. My heart can be deceitful. But Lord, would you plant something in our hearts tonight? I do belong to God. And I do want to be clean. And whatever that next step is, even though it could be something small, it could be something big, that we would surrender to it tonight. And Lord, that you would speak to people's hearts during this time of invitation. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.